Everything I'm going to talk about today is stuff that I'm really excited about because it has really helped me. And I'll just tell you from the outset that I knew this was going to be a really busy week with a mission team here in town and with 4 hours of teaching to get ready for today. What I didn't know was that in the middle of the night, Monday night, my wife was going to get very sick and spend a week in a whole lot of pain and unable to do anything except sit in the chair and feel lousy. So we had a lot of sleepless nights and 4 visits to the doctor and a lot of things that weren't planned. So what do you think about that for a week when you're going to teach on stress? So in that context, I hope it's meaningful for you to hear me say at the outset, I am so excited about this material. It has been so helpful for me. And the things that I'm going to try to encourage you with are things that I've had to put into practice over and over this week. So there is no stress-free guru in the room to make us all wish we could be like him. I am certainly not him. And you might feel a little uncomfortable coming to a seminar about stress. You know, you might wonder what people think of the fact that you came, as if it indicates there's something wrong with you. Or you might be quite certain that what you're going to get today is a big guilt trip about how stress is so bad for you and you need to stop it. And you're thinking, that's never helped before and I don't think it's going to help today. And that's true, by the way. Being told that stress kills you doesn't help anybody. That's what the research says, by the way, that your view of stress directly affects how much damage your body experiences from stress. But we're going to spend very little time on the potential damage from stress, though hopefully we're going to learn how to think about that damage in some helpful ways. So what we're actually most interested in today is what God has to say in the Bible. As somebody else said, God is the only one who gets his to-do list done every day. He is the only authority here on this subject. So we're not here to get a stern lecture or to learn from a guru, but to try to listen to the Creator's wisdom about our lives. So let's stop and just say a brief prayer before we move further. Dear God, we do ask that today you might help us. Believe that you are the greatest possible source of help for us. We were created for your help. And so calm our hearts now to be able to learn. And would you please bless each person here today through these things. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, open your booklets then and let's jump right into the question, what is stress? What is stress? There is no one definition because it's a word that we use flexibly to describe our experience of handling life's challenges. You might want to just write that word down because it's essential to your understanding of stress. Stress is a word we use to describe our experience of handling life's challenges. For many centuries, the word was used in primarily physical ways, like for the strain on a bridge. The word stress, back to an old Latin word, was used for that. And it actually was not until about a century ago that it started to be used in psychological ways or spiritual ways. Now, it's also used in scientific ways. Scientists use the term to describe certain natural physical responses that our bodies have to the challenges of life. When you face a challenge, good or bad, the brain sets off a reaction from your hypothalamus to your pituitary gland and down to the other glands in your body that releases certain hormones, that inhibits other hormones, that activates certain parts of your nervous system. Your brain kicks into gear, and so scientists sometimes use the word stress to describe those natural brain responses to the challenges of life. So stress can be a scientific term. More generally, everybody just uses it for our experience of the challenges of life, and so I'm not going to give you a formal definition because there really isn't one. There doesn't need to be one. And actually, I'd encourage you to think of it this way. If someone says, my car is making a funny noise, that's not a diagnosis. Now, that statement is helpful, right? Because my car is making a funny noise may lead you to consider what diagnosis somebody needs to make about your car. What is the source of the funny noise? Or if you say, my car doesn't feel right, Well, that's not a diagnosis. That's just an observation. And so I think we should look at stress similarly to that. It's not so much a thing, though there are those bodily responses that are a thing, but stress isn't so much a thing as it is an indicator of a thing. And let's call that thing a stressor. And you might want to just write that word down because it's another really essential word for us. Stressor, the word stress with O-R on the end. A stressor is what your body and soul respond to with stress. Now, the stressor might be bad or it might be good. If my car doesn't feel right and it turns out that that's because I have a flat tire, then that was a bad stressor. And we could call that distress. Stress caused by a negative stressor we could call distress. If, however, my car doesn't feel normal for a good reason, that's different. A couple weeks ago, my wife and I were out in Palm Springs, and we drove our van up into Painted Canyon, which is this spectacular little section of rock and stuff. But it's a crazy dirt road, and our van was bouncing all over the place. So my van feels really weird, but in the first situation, it was because I had a flat tire. That's a bad thing. In the second situation, it was because we were exploring this really beautiful place. We could, what they would call that, and we're not going to use this term more today, but they would call that eustress. E-U before the word stress. Distress and eustress, depending on whether the stressor is bad or good. Stress points to a challenge that you are facing, regardless of whether the stressor is good or bad. Now, let me pause and say that life is full of a vast variety of stressors, and that means that as you're listening to the seminar today, you might find at some points that we're talking about a stressor that seems completely irrelevant to you. The stress of a Wall Street executive is maybe seem very different from the stress of a widow. The stress of a frantically busy mom may seem very different from the stress of somebody who's been caring for their aging parent with dementia for 10 years, you know. And so what I would just ask you to realize is that even if at a given moment today we're talking about an example of stress that seems very unrelated to you, the principles are going to apply across the board. So don't feel like we're not talking about you, even if the particular example doesn't hit home at that moment. Now, despite the fact that stressors can be positive, the word stress is predominantly used in negative ways. As a matter of fact, I would guess you maybe never hear the word stress used in a positive way, right? And it's even used in frightening ways. And so for just a little sample of that, I want to show you three brief clips from a kind of well-known National Geographic special about stress.
Stomach bacteria can run amok. Because what the stress does is wipe out the ability of your body to begin to repair your stomach walls when they start rotting away from this bacteria. So stress can cause ulcers by disrupting our body's ability to heal itself. If stress can undermine the immune system, what other havoc can it wreak? Stress and the resulting flood of hormones have increased blood pressure, damaging artery walls, making them repositories for plaque.
So now when you feel threatened, your arteries don't expand and your heart muscle doesn't get more blood, and that can lead to a heart attack. This is not an abstract concept. It's not something that maybe someday you should do something about. You need to attend to it today because it's affecting the way your body functions. And if stress today will affect your health tomorrow and for years to come. Mothers of young children are a highly stressed group. They're often balancing competing demands like work and childbearing, and often don't have time to take care of themselves. So if you add on top of that the extra burden of caring for a child with special needs, it can be overwhelming. It can tax the very reverse that sustain people. And if they're stressed, they're more stressed, they tend to die.
These women have shorter telomeres, decreased activity of this enzyme, and very, very rough number for every year you were taking care of a chronic little child, you got roughly 6 years worth of aging.
This is real. This is not just somebody whining. This is real, medically serious aging going on, and we can see that it's actually caused by the chronic stress.
How do you feel about stress now? Oh, let's watch it again. No, it's replayed. Let's not watch it again. All right, so that's the typical message about stress. Stress is terrible. Stress is killing you. You have no idea how many years this has taken off your life. Have any of you seen a real age test? Anybody taken a real age test? You take this paper, you go through and you mark all the different stressful events you've had in your life, you use this little formula and do this math, and it tells you how much older you are than you think you are. Yeah. Now, if you don't want to think about stress in those negative ways, there are plenty of books that promise a rosier outlook. There are 12,000 books in the Amazon category called Stress Management. They make promises like this one in a book that I have and read this week. This book offers a clear path to the health, wealth, and love we all want. Actually, some of the most popular books for dealing with stress, if you look at Amazon or Christian Book or any place like that, some of the most popular books about dealing with stress today are adult coloring books with titles like Anti-Stress Dot to Dot and the Today is Going to Be a Great Day coloring book for adults. All right. So let's start to get our minds thinking about what this means practically in our life. So let's just do word association here. So I say the word stress, and you think of what? Just say some words that come to mind when I say stress.
Jerry.
What? Okay. So we have children. We will not name names. What?
Stop.
Oh, stop. I don't know where to put that on my chart. Stop. No, wait. I know where to put it. It goes over here. Because we want to make three columns here. Okay, so this is the what we do about stress column. And like you just saw in that video, basically the message there is stop, it's going to kill you. Okay, stop. This is stressors column. And then I also want us to make another column here, which is words that are like what stress feels like. What the stress experience is like. Okay, so keep giving me words. And deadlines. Keep going.
Pressure.
Ah. All right, that was three words at once.
Pressure.
Okay, so we can see, first of all, that you are much better at thinking about stressors than you are about processing what stress feels like. And that's actually really instructive, because what I'm going to challenge you to do today is stop spending so much time here and start making this, start shining the spotlight on this a whole lot more. Okay? I'm going to encourage you later to stop letting your stress hide. You put your focus over here and you miss these things. So give me more words in this column. What does stress feel like?
Sleeplessness.
Anger.
Should have thought of that word.
Running out of room at the bottom of the lake. Okay, how do we, what are some of the things we try to do with stress? Do about stress? Two-thirds, the science shows that two-thirds of people eat more when they're stressed and one-third of people eat less when they're stressed. What's the opposite response to procrastinating with stress?
Deal with it.
Yeah, deal with it. But I'm thinking about the opposite unhealthy response.
Workaholic.
Yeah, workaholic. Ignore or deny? I missed that.
Give up.
Exercise.
Pray.
Give up.
Color.
You think I'm kidding. Go look at the bestseller list. All right, let's just say it. How many of you own an adult coloring book? Okay, thank you. Okay. All right, now I'm going to put the pressure on you. So take that page that's like a spreadsheet. It's got all the blocks on it, the separate sheet. And what I need you to do is on one side of that, and it doesn't actually matter which side you start with, on one side of that, you see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 down one side of that page. What I'm going to ask you to do is to try to think of at least 5 stressors in your life. Okay? So we're talking about this list right here. 5 things from this list, or other things not here, but this category. 5 things that you would say are stressors in your life. Now, I'm not necessarily asking you, like, what are the top 5, because frankly, you may not feel comfortable writing down your number one stressor on that piece of paper. I recognize that. But try to come up with at least 5 of the stressors that are most common in your life. And then there's room there for as many as 8 of them. Once you get them written down the left-hand column on one side of the paper, flip it over and write the same things down the left-hand column on the other side. You're just going to duplicate that column on both sides of the page. All right, while you're finishing that up, let me just comment on a couple important things before we get really into the content here. You have one other handout, which consists of some sections from the Bible. This is from one of the historical records about Jesus called the Gospel of Luke. And can I just clarify again that the Bible's our primary source this morning? I'm not an expert, and I need to make sure I tell you that, especially when it comes to the biology of stress. I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not trying to give you health advice, so I'm not the authority here. But I also want to make sure you understand that I'm going to quote today from several current stress researchers, scientists, and realize that I'm quoting from them not because they're the ultimate authorities either. As a matter of fact, most of them are materialistic evolutionists. And that's the whole framework. That's why you see monkeys a lot in all the videos about stress and the books about stress, because they're viewing us as the most advanced of the primates. And so the best way to learn more about us is to study primates. So while I will quote them because I want us to interact with some of the latest brain research and science about stress, It's not because they're the authorities either. Our goal today is to understand what the Bible says. All right. Did you get your list made? You got it on both sides? Let's turn our attention to the foundational question. Is stress inevitable? If you look in your booklet, let's see, what page are we at? Page 3 in your booklet. We see the reality of stress. These words are from Jesus, John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. So there Jesus tells us that in the world we will have tribulation. The word tribulation comes from a word that means it's a word that is, though similar in its intention, it's kind of the opposite of being pulled apart. It's a word that means to be crushed or squeezed, or even if you picture somebody with their foot grinding something into the ground, something getting crunched, that's the idea of this word. In the world, you're going to get pressured, you're going to get squeezed by life. Sometimes it's even going to feel like you're getting crushed. You'll feel like a bridge under stress, straining under the weight it is carrying. Jesus said that kind of press, crushing, squeezing, was unavoidable. Ephesians 5:16 refers to making the most of your time because the days are evil. And you don't have to watch much news to see that. Matthew 6, Jesus said, "Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Now that might sound a wee bit pessimistic to you, but one of the things I love about the Bible is how realistic it is. And I think that what Jesus said there corresponds to the reality of each of our lives. And then in Matthew 26:37, we see that even Jesus himself, when here on earth, experienced distress. So the Bible teaching is that this world is not the way it's supposed to be. It is not the way God originally created it, when all was right and humans could flourish. Humanity wants to live in autonomy. They want to live apart from God's authority. And as a result, this world is a very broken place. And the Bible doesn't hide from that. The Bible allows us to grieve over the brokenness. And that's very important, because some teaching about stress essentially teaches you to detach yourself so much from this life that you kind of float above it all, as if nothing's even happening down there with those poor people in the real world, and you manage to float above it all. That's not the biblical teaching about it. The Bible teaches about people in the middle of it, grieving over the brokenness of it, and yet not overcome by it. So we can say it this way: stressors are inevitable. You probably want to write that down. Stressors are inevitable. This column is inevitable. And secondly, you see a point there that says the biology of stress. Not that we're going to talk about that right now, but the second point is your body's basic stress responses are inevitable. Stressors are inevitable, and your body's basic stress responses are inevitable. When you have challenges, your body responds even before your mind and heart have a chance to respond. It automatically responds to challenges. So stressors are inevitable. Your body's biological response, at least initially, is inevitable. Okay, but is damaging stress inevitable? No, it is not. And I hope I'll explain that more in several ways as we go along today. A stressor itself will not wreck your body, will not give you cardiovascular disease, will not mess up your body's ability to absorb calcium and lead to osteoporosis, will not dull your memory, or all the things that damaging stress can do. None of those things are inevitable just because of stressors. Again, we see in John 16:33, top of page 4, Jesus said, "In the world you have tribulation, but Take courage. I have overcome the world. Take courage. We could translate that word, be encouraged. Or, as we have here, take courage. You can face life with courage. You don't have to be discouraged, and you can actually face life's challenges with courage. As a matter of fact, your body's basic biological responses to stress are designed to help you face life's challenges. The problem begins when we think that all stress is bad. You see a quote there from Dr. Kelly McGonigal, and if you want to read a secular book about stress, I'm not sure I'd recommend it, but if you did want to, this is probably the best one, the most helpful one that I've read. She says, it wasn't stress alone, this is from a major research study, it wasn't stress alone that was killing people. It was the combination of stress and the belief that stress is harmful. If you think that damaging stress is inevitable, then you will probably experience it. That's what the science says. But Jesus indicates that it is possible to be encouraged. Why? Because if you recognize that your body's basic response is a gift from God to help you act effectively in challenging situations, then you can face life with courage. The Bible tells us to be alert and sober and watching, and sometimes it tells us to take action. Our bodies can help us do that. So in this sense, you can embrace stress. Okay, does everybody follow me to that point? We can't miss that. God equips your body to help you spring into action when it's important. You should embrace that. So, what is your standard view of stress? Has it been all negative? Start to see stress in its basic biological response as God-given and helpful. Yet, everybody knows stress can be damaging. So, when does stress become harmful? Well, the science seems to indicate that the release of stress hormones is inevitable, and it's normal, and it's frequently beneficial, and you can see that over time, those stress hormones actually switch from doing good to causing harm. Now, depending on the particular aspect we're talking about, it varies in how that works. But the basic scientific picture is that that flush of hormones into your body from your first response is good and can even be healthy and do things like help you remember what just happened. And then over time, it starts to have the opposite effect. For example, it can make it really hard for you to remember what happened. It reverses its effect on you over time. So let me illustrate it this way. So we're saying that if you allow those stress hormones to continue indefinitely, that's what's going to do the damage. You follow me? I think here's the simplest way I know to illustrate that. You are awoken in the middle of the night by a sudden loud noise. What do we call that? Not a joke. What do we call that? No, what do we call that? A stressor, right? What happens in your body? Wow. Heart's pumping. Boom, you're awake. Maybe even leap out of bed. Did you stop and think, I think that if something's going on, my muscles might need oxygen, which means my heart needs to pump faster. So, heart, start pumping faster. It just did, right? Before you were even awake, your body said, boom, there's a challenge. Got to respond. Okay? So the noise, the sudden noise is a stressor. Your brain triggers the release of stress hormones. That's inevitable. Your heart's racing, your adrenaline pumping. Maybe you need to act. Then you discover that the cat knocked over a glass. Now, will it take a while for your body to calm back down from that? Yeah, because something biological just happened in you. Your body chemistry just got adjusted in a big hurry. And your emotions are going to keep running, and it's going to take you a little while to come back down off of that, all right? But your body will calm down, and that stressful situation isn't really going to do damage to you. Unless you get back in bed and start imagining everything that sound could have been. Now, what does your body do with all that stress response? It keeps it going. It keeps it going. It keeps it going. It keeps pumping those same hormones. It keeps suppressing the same parts of your nervous system. It keeps affecting your brain in the same way. It keeps constricting the blood vessels. all of the things that can lead to long-term damage. And you lay there in bed and you worry and you think about, oh no, should we have gotten that security system? We decided it was too expensive, but oh, we probably should have gotten it. What about the kids? They're on the first floor. I'm on the second floor. Da-da-da-da-da. You know what you're doing? You're hurting. You're really, that's what starts to cause damage in your body. Because now that stress response is going and going and going. The science indicates that the longer a stress response continues, the more likely it will switch from doing good to doing harm. My favorite illustration is just the simple rubber band. A rubber band is supposed to be stressed. That's why we made it in the first place. It's the purpose of the rubber band. And if you never stretch it, it will stiffen up and become useless. But at the same time, what happens when you stretch a rubber band tight and leave it like that for a few years? You just touch the thing and it snaps, right? Well, our minds, our hearts, our bodies are much like that. Designed by God to be stressed. You were designed for challenges, but not designed to live tight all the time. You have to come back. The damage happens in our minds and hearts when the stress response continues on and on. Okay, are we good there? That's really, really foundational. Any questions about that part? Illustration.